Well, amen. That's some good singing this morning. Amen. Oh, what wonderful worship. It's so good to see you in God's house today. Take your Bibles. Turn with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 5. And we'll begin reading verse 13. When God shows up, will you? When God shows up, will you? Well, I'm glad you showed up this morning. Let's all stand up as we read God's word. Joshua chapter 5, verse number 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Are thy for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay. What an answer. He said, No. But as captain of the hosts of the Lord, I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thy standeth is holy. And Joshua did so. Father, thank you for the reading of your word, that your Holy Spirit is always in attendance to the reading of the word of God. And I pray for your Holy Spirit now just to put a hush on our spirits and our hearts, that we could be still and know that you're God today, that we could hear your still, quiet voice speak to our hearts. I pray for your fresh oil on me, that you would anoint me afresh and anew, that you would speak through me with clarity, truth, and authority, thus saith the Lord. And I'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When I thought about this title, When God Shows Up With You, I thought about the story, I'm sure you heard it, of the man who was stuck on his roof because of a flood. So this flood kept rising and rising and rising. And so he was praying and praying and praying, God show up, God show up. And so this little guy came by on his little canoe. He says, get in my canoe, man. He said, the flood waters are rising. He said, I'm waiting for God to show up. And so the guy on the canoe went on. Well, then here comes the police, and they've got one of these police rafts, and the raft comes up to the house, and they try to get the man on the raft, and there are several other people. He said, no, I'm waiting for God to show up, and the raft went on. And then here comes a guy, he has a motorboat, and he stops. He says, get in my boat, man. The water has almost got you under. He says, no, I'm waiting for God to show up. Then a guy comes over in a helicopter, drops a ladder to him, says, jump on the ladder, I'll pull you up. He says, no, I'm waiting for God to show up. Well, finally, the water went over his head. The man drowned. He went to heaven. He said, God, I thought you was going to show up. He said, man, I sent you three boats and a helicopter. What more do I need? What are you going to do when God shows up in your life? Are you just going to say, well, God, you know, a lot of us are looking for God to do something like miraculous. Well, he's doing miracles all the time. Amen. Amen? Did you know just being here today is a miracle? Amen. You know, our old flesh would probably rather stay home. But I'm glad that you didn't do what you felt like doing. You did what your faith said. And that's what I'm going to deal with today, because this chapter, the whole book of Joshua, is all about great faith. And we want to talk about today, the book of Joshua. Joshua is a book of victory. And the Old Testament, it is the book that describes the New Testament victory that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. For Joshua is a picture, he's a type, he's an illustration of our Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, the name Joshua in the Old Testament means Jesus in the New Testament. Interesting that Joshua represents and pictures the victory that Jesus gives us. The Lord Jesus is our heavenly Joshua who leads us into the land of promise, the land of fulfillment, the land of victory. So please allow me to remind you that the book of Joshua is not only a revelation of what God has accomplished in times past, but it's also a revelation of what God will do in the future. In fact, I love this verse, and I think of it often. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Listen to this. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and that they are written for our admonition. Oh, that we would make this our own today. I want you to hear this and take example from Joshua and the saints of God from this age till now and bring this amazing benefit to where we are today. That's my goal today. Joshua is set to look out over this great city of Jericho. Man, it was something to look at. It was the most fortified city ever known to man. It was so wide that two chariots could ride abreast around it, racing around on top of this fortified city. It was a very fortified city, a great citadel fortress that stood before the children of Israel and the land of promise. They had to be able to get through this, through the people of Jericho. It was a great city. It was great in antiquity in that it was one of the most inhabited cities on the face of the earth, but it was also great in iniquity in that it was one of the most wicked, godless, sinful cities ever known to man. It was great in fortification. Great walls and chariots would ride on it. And it was amazing in the eyes of man. From a military point of view, it was impregnable. It was a fortress that just stood there in defiance. And I sort of painted a picture for you to think about. What is your Jericho like today? Because all of us are facing something. I want to say that in each of our lives, the devil's placed some kind of Jericho. And it looms before us as an impossible barrier that stands between us and the fulfillment that we feel God wants for our life. There's just something there. You feel it, don't you? You probably know what I'm talking about. It could be that you're dealing with a health issue. It could be that you're dealing with an unhappy marriage. It could be that you're dealing with some circumstance that it seems like that's all you can think about. Satan knows how to do it to us, don't he? I mean, just to put that in front of us constantly, it's saying, I'm here in all my strength to keep you from entering into the land of promise. You know what your Jericho is. I don't need to tell it to you. But some fortress that seems to keep us from conquering the land that our God has given us. Now, I want to give you the lesson of the whole book of Joshua in one sentence, and we can go home. Okay, you believe that? Well, I'm going to give it to you whether you believe it or not. In one statement, here's the meaning of the whole book. Victory is not achieved by fighting, it's received by faith. That's the meaning of the whole book. Because right here, we're going to see, here's this great military leader. Here was the captain of Israel. He was the head honcho. He's sizing up Jericho. And all of a sudden, he gets a whole different perspective. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. But here's the meaning of not just this chapter, but every chapter in the book of Joshua. Victory is not achieved by fighting. It's received by faith. Learn that. It's received by faith. You see, when God has a gigantic task that he wants to perform, he gives faith the contract. Faith is wonderful because it is faith that ranks our nothingness to God's almightiness. Can I get an amen? Amen. And God oftentimes will bring you to the end of yourself so you will see how weak you are and how strong he is. Some of you are there today. And that makes all the difference. When God shows up, the question is, will you? And that was the question for Joshua and all the children of Israel. Would they show up? I mean, you know, here you are facing a real challenge. I mean, something that looks impossible to the naked eye. Will you show up when God tells you to do something that's strange, that's difficult? You know the story, don't you? That God gave them instruction to walk around the walls of Jericho without saying a word. Listen, that'd be hard for us to do. Amen? To keep your mouth shut. What was it last week? I forget. Was it last week we had the guy that talked about the bull joke? 2 weeks ago. I like that joke. He said, you know, this lion, he wanted to eat this big bull, and he preyed upon the bull. He ate the bull, and then he thought he let out a big roar. And when he did, a hunter of lions came and shot the lion. And the guy that was speaking here the other week, he said, the moral of the story is that when you're full of bull, keep your mouth shut. I thought that was pretty good. So you know what? Sometimes it's best just to keep your mouth shut. Well, the children of Israel were told to keep their mouth shut, right? And they did. Why is that? Look up here. I want to tell you why I think it is. So they could be still and see the hand of God at work. You can't see God at work if you're always talking. Sometimes you got to be listening. Amen. I think that's an important truth. Well, here we go. Number one, we see the captain of our faith. We see the person. You see it in verse 13, about the second part of verse 13. He says, he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. He saw a person. You ever been somewhere and you felt like somebody else was standing nearby? You didn't maybe recognize it at first. Well, that's where Joshua was. All of a sudden, he felt the presence of another. And I've been talking about the presence of God. And today, we're going to talk about when God shows up. So, let me ask you something. Joshua's standing there. He's facing his problem. Now, listen, I'm going somewhere. He's sizing up Jericho. He's thinking. He's scratching his head. He's thinking, there's just no way. I mean, how are we going to overcome this great fortified city? It's just impossible. He's thinking all this. And by the way, how long has it been since you were thinking about your problem? Jericho was Joshua's problem. What is your problem? What is it that you're facing right now? Say, when was the last time you've been out to look at your problems? You say, well, about 5 minutes ago. Oh, you have been walking around it, and you've been saying it's just impossible. It looms so big over me. It's in front of me. That's just what Joshua was doing when suddenly he was aware of another's presence. And it's interesting what happens here. Look at verse 13 again. Look at that verse. Joshua's reaching to pull out his sword. And he asked in the last part of verse 13, this is the key, I think. Are you for us, he says in verse 13, or for our adversaries? Say, fella, whose side are you on? And I want you to notice the strange answer that he gets from this person. Joshua said, are you for us or for them? And the answer is no. Now, what kind of answer is that? When God shows up, you know, some people will just run. I mean, some people say, I can't join the church in that effort. They run. And by the way, look up here, folks. It's easier to run than to stand the course. But Joshua is a military leader. He's the captain of all Israel. And a true soldier don't go AWOL. Am I right? Amen. A true soldier. A true policeman. Don't run when the children are being shot at. Amen. A true policeman runs into the school. Amen. And he's willing to lay down his life. By the way, we have a true Savior. Amen. He went to the cross and he laid down his life. Amen. He took your sin because he had no sin. It wasn't his fault that he was at the cross. It was your fault. Amen. It was your blame. It was your hell. And Jesus took it. He took the sin problem, didn't he? So here we see, and I want to give you this, a different perception. We see the person. Well, what happened? What changed? Perception means it's the way you think about or understand someone or something. Look at verse 14. And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, I have now come. He's saying, I'm not for you and I'm not for them. I've not come to take sides. I've come to take over. And I'll tell you what's happening here, and I don't know if you can understand this. Do you understand that Jesus was at the very beginning? I mean, when God created, he said, and let us create in our image. He was talking about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, okay? Well, here we see a pre-incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the captain of the host of heaven, and he is giving Joshua a whole different perception now. For Joshua had a face and face-to-face confrontation with the Lord Jesus Christ. This was Jesus he had met. In the Old Testament, what would be a pre-incarnation of the Lord Jesus? He is the Lord Jesus, the captain of all the host of heaven. And now, all of a sudden, the captain of all Israel is bowing down to the captain of the host of heaven. He gets a whole different perception as a captain. He saw the man, the conqueror with the drawn sword, who was not come to take sides, but was come to take over. Listen to me carefully. If you want victory in your life, stop trying to get God on your side and you get on God's side. Quit trying to get God to work for you. In your prayer life, God, give me, do. We are always coming to God, and we want those instant prayers, you know. We want like instant coffee, or we want microwave prayers. We want it right now. And God is saying, listen, I didn't come here to answer all your prayers. I've come to take over your life. Hello? And then all of a sudden you start praying a different prayer. Not my will, but thy will be done. You see, there's when you want to get your prayers answered. He said, I'll answer that prayer. Your prayer should be what God's will is. Amen? Amen. Because what you think is best for you is not always what's best for you. You know, you're often thinking. It's a matter of perception, how we see things. And if you want victory in your life, stop trying to get God on your side in your prayer life, and you get on God's side. God's not come to take sides. He's come to take over, and you'll never know faith. You'll never know victory, and your Jericho will never fall until you do as Joshua did, and you lay your sword down at the feet of the Lord Jesus and bow yourself prostrate before him and say, all right, God, I surrender. When you surrender, that's when God will start working in your life. But you know what we do? We want to fight. We want to defend ourselves. We want to stand for our rights. How many times I've heard people say that? Well, I want my rights. When you got saved, you gave up your rights for his righteousness. You don't have any rights. You said, I don't like that preacher. Well, which do you want? Do you want his will and way? Do you want his righteousness? Or do you want to be right all the time? And by the way, look up here. You're not right all the time. Some people think they're right all the time, and they're not. It's a matter of perception. It's a matter of perspective. Look at this. Perspective is the way of regarding something. So there's a difference between perception and perspective. You see, Joshua had been problem conscious, but now he's God conscious. There's a change. He's no longer problem conscious. He lays in the dust before the Lord, and he's not thinking now, why it can't be done. You know what Joshua's thinking? It's as good as done because the captain of the host of heaven has showed up. Amen. And church, I want to ask you, what are you looking for in your life? Do you want to be the captain of your life? I hear so many men say, well, I'm the head of my house and everybody will be subject to me. I'm the king of my castle. You know, you really miss the whole meaning of servant leadership. Because that's what God says you're to be, a servant leader. Amen. That means you're willing to roll out the red carpet for your wife when she comes home. Uh-huh. I don't like that idea. I just want her to give me some respect. Well, then you give her some respect. Amen. You know, it works both ways. Amen. And see, it's a matter of perspective. You know, we oftentimes will interpret Scripture for our own benefit. Hello? See it done all the time. But the truth of the matter is, when the Bible says you're a spiritual leader, that means a servant leader. Amen. That's what the Scripture means. I don't know how I got off on that. Somebody must need to hear that. It's a matter of perspective. You know, there's a bunch of folks that are so problem conscious. I mean, they can't see nothing positive. All they can see is the negative. I heard about this fellow, first time he ever saw a steam engine with a bunch of train, it was a freight train with a steam engine. And he stood there and he told everybody around him, he said, that thing will never be able to move. He'll never pull all those cars behind him. There's no way that big steam engine could pull all that that cargo. About that time, the old steam engine got started, and sure enough, it got going down the track. Choo, choo, choo. And I mean, it was going full steam then. And that man said, I'll tell you what, I don't think that thing will ever stop. You know what? It's a matter of perspective. You know, we can look at something and say, well, it can't be done. But I'm going to preach to you today what God says can't be done can be done. Amen. The Bible says what's impossible with man is possible with God. What is your perspective? Is Jesus Christ the captain of your faith? Well, I'll tell you what, if he's not, then you don't have the right Jesus. Because he is the captain of faith. Amen? We're so problem conscious. Some of us are so focused on our problems that we can't see the possibilities. Our perspective is all wrong. We're negative in our thinking, and we're hard on ourselves. We think, well, I have failed so much in the past. My sin has got a hold of me so strong. Well, let me tell you something. Who is the captain of your faith? Your past or Jesus? Are y'all listening to me? It's a matter of perspective. And then real quickly, by the way, what I want you to learn in perspective today, we're in a worship service right now. I think it's the most holy hour of our week. I do. I'm amazed how people will let their minds wander to other things. Jesus had Joshua's undivided attention. He bows down in the dust before him, and he lays his sword down. You and I need to learn to do that. Because I'm going to tell you something. You will never outdo God. You will not outgive God. You will not outlive God. You can't argue with God. He's right every time. Hello? So the best thing for you to do is to surrender it, okay, to the Lord. All right, and then the compliance of our faith. Look at verse 15. Once Joshua had met the captain of the host of heaven, he gave him some instructions. In Joshua 6, 1 through 5 are the instructions. But verse 15, he finds out that no longer, and man, I want you to hear this, Joshua is thinking, I've got to fix this problem. No longer, he didn't instruct Joshua to fix the problem, did he? No, he didn't tell Joshua to build some ladders now so you can climb this fortified city. He didn't say, dig some trenches so you can dig your way under the city. No, those instructions were not there. He just said, start marching around the wall. Start marching. You know, I don't get Christian people sometimes. They go AWOL more than you think. I mean, really. I mean, do you know that we have church on Sunday morning and we have Sunday school? Some people go AWOL because they don't have time to study God's word. Bible says we're to be a good soldier. A good soldier wants to show up when it's time to meet together and learn God's word together. Worship. Man, I'll tell you, a good soldier, he ain't going to miss worship. No. He knows who the captain of his faith is. I'm glad you're here today because we're all bowing down to him. We're giving compliance of our faith. But I want you to think with me because I got to thinking. How did Joshua, talking about his perspective and the perception that he had, everybody knows Joshua had to be thinking, this ain't going to work. I'm a military man. You can't beat the enemy by walking around their city. This cannot work. Joshua had to be thinking this. The children of Israel had to be thinking, why did God tell Joshua to do this? Well, I don't know all the reasons, but I believe I know a couple. So I'm going to give you a couple. So if everybody would just give me your undivided attention for a moment, okay? Number one, observation. I believe that God was trying to show Israel and Joshua something that's very, very important that I think all of us need to hear today. We need to hear this. It says in verse 15, and the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. You know what? The first thing he did was obey. I got ahead of myself a little bit there. The first thing he did was obey. And by the way, it's funny that I did that because that's where we struggle the most. Look up here, folks. If there's one thing that Jesus taught us, if there's one thing in the Bible that God wants from every person here, is obedience. I didn't get much of an amen, and that one was weak. Amen. But we're not too good with obedience. We're better at defiance. We're better at rebellion. Yeah. Speed limit says 55. We're going to push it to the limit. You do it. Go ahead. I won't pick on nobody, but I see that hand back there. I'll tell you, we all are guilty. Do we obey the law? No. We'll push it to the limit. But here's Joshua. Look what it says, and he did so. You see, it doesn't have to make sense to you, but as long as it makes sense to God, amen? Why do something? If God says to do it, that should be enough. Faith without works, the Bible says, is what? The question is not whether God shows up. The question is, will we show up to do the work God's called us to do? Hello? You see, we know that our Savior lives. Can I get y'all's attention? We know He got up from the third day. And we know He did it so that we might live for all eternity. But here we are. We don't want to show up when it's time for us to show up. We want someone else to show up for us. We want someone else to study the Bible and help us grow in the Lord. Hello? Now, I'm not being mean this morning, but if all you're depending on is your Sunday school teacher, you're sunk. Because all you're getting is that Sunday morning Sunday school lesson when you need it every day of the week. Hello? And then you wonder, why am I not growing in the Lord? Why is it that Satan just keeps giving me such a hard time? Folks, let me tell you something. Jesus had the problem with the devil too. And the devil tempted him in every area. But what did Jesus do? He quoted Scripture. Most of us can't quote Scripture because we've not studied it enough. Most of us wouldn't know enough Scriptures to scare the devil away. That's the truth. Because most people really don't study their Bible. They say, I want my Sunday school teacher to do it. I want my preacher to do it. I want someone else to study. Do you know what? They're the ones that's going to grow. Am I right? Amen. Yeah, you need to get in. The Bible says, and it doesn't say this just to teachers or preachers, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And these last days, we're going to need to divide the word of God in the right way. Amen? I can imagine children of Israel feeling so, I mean, you're talking about uncomfortable, out of their place, talking about feeling like a bunch of idiots. They're walking around this city with the instructions of keeping their mouth shut. If they were Baptists, they couldn't have done that. They couldn't have. But they were walking around this city, and I can imagine the jeers of Jericho. Cat got your tongue? Your God ain't got a word to say, has he? And sometimes, you know what? In our day and time, people are the same. You'd be surprised. These students, and I work with them on Sunday night, how much they are bullied and persecuted for their walk with God. Really. You know what I'm trying to encourage them to do? Stand up! Stand up for Jesus. Amen. Ye soldiers of the cross. Amen. Don't let the devil pull you down. You don't have to say yes to the world or the flesh of the devil. You can say no. Jesus said no right here. No, I'm not on your side and I'm not on their side. I'm not on any side. I'm here to take over. And some of us don't like that. You mean Jesus was not on Joshua's side? Well, he said, I'm not on your side and I'm not on Jericho's side. I'm not here to join anyone's side. I'm here to take over. You know, when I do marriage counseling, I always tell the couple, listen, I'm not going to take his side. I'm not going to take her side. I'm going to take his side. And I'm safe there. Some of them don't like that. But the fact is, he's the only one that can help that marriage and save that marriage. Obedience is the key. And then observation. Let's talk about it. I think this is so important. Obedience is vital, but I want you to see certain things here. God wanted Israel to see their faith shown. In other words, what God was trying to say to Israel, I want you to show your faith and your commitment known. I want it to be on display. I want you to keep your mouth shut. I want you to walk around this city. You walk around one time each for 6 days. On the seventh day, you walk around it seven times. What was this all about? There was an observation. Every time they walked around the city, it seemed to get bigger in their minds. That's what God wanted. There were those walls of strength. Every time they walked around them, they realized how impossible it was. Do you know God's keeping some of us? He's keeping our problems before us. He's keeping those things before us because he wants to show us. He wants us to learn something from that experience. Did you know God is keeping your problem, your Jericho, before you until you say this? Look up here. I can't solve it. That's exactly why it's there. Look up here. Some of you are trying to fix it, and God don't want you to fix it. Some of you are trying to fix your wives. You can't fix her. Some of you are trying to fix your husbands. You can't fix them. Some of you are trying to fix your children. You can't fix them. But you know what? If you will be willing to do what Joshua did, Joshua came to the place. He said, I can't, but I know God can. I love quotes from E.M. Thomas. I love this quote. He said, God, I can't. You never said I could. You can. You always said you would. You've got to come to the place of desperation. And I doubt many people are there today. We're so blessed. Are y'all listening? We got cars to drive. We got houses to live in. We got food in our stomach. And most people don't get too desperate before God. We need to get desperate before God. Because look up here, folks. America needs God more than ever before. We really do. We've been so blessed, we forgot who the blesser was. The observation here is that I believe God was speaking loud and clear. You can't, but I can. Only God can do it. And when we stop trying and start trusting, when we walk around our Jericho long enough to bow our heads in desperation and say, God, I can't. If it is done, the captain of the host will have to do it. Then he will take over. The captain of our faith is Jesus. The compliance of our faith is obedience. And then last, and I'm done, the confession of our faith. Now, this is very important, church, that we learn this. If you want God to show up, you know, I've often said this about worship. Music's powerful. You start praising him. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. You want God to show up? I'm talking about, we know he's with us, amen. I'm talking about his manifested presence. I believe God wants to show up in our services. I believe God wants to show up in your life, in the life of your family. Number one, you see the sound of victory. Look at verse 5 of chapter 6. You see it there. And it came to pass that when they made a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, it was the sound of victory before the victory came. Oh, it was a sound of victory, so the victory that had been promised would be theirs. It was a confession of faith that God would keep his word. And folks, we need to start sounding it out more than ever before. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Your victory is in Jesus Christ. And we just need to sound it out. We need to sound it out. Oh, we sound everything else out. It's amazing to me how there are people who name the name of Christ. You hear them say vulgar words. Yeah. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know what they're revealing to you? They're revealing their heart to you. I've seen good Christian people. It slipped. Oh, did it? You just told me what was in your heart. I don't believe you can use God's name in vain and be in a right relationship with God. I don't believe you'd curse his name. I don't. What is the sound of victory? I believe the sound of victory for the church is that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he's the captain of our faith, that Jesus still rules and reigns. He is still on his throne. Hello? We need to make that sound loud and clear to ourselves and to our church. You see, confession is but faith turned inside outwards. Joshua knew the march around the city was a victory march. Belief says, I believe he will. Confession of faith says, the victory is mine before the battle is even won. Notice the confession in verse 16. Look at that. And it came to pass at the seventh time, talking about when they actually walked around the city, when the priest blew with the trumpet, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And that's the second thing I want to talk about, the shout of victory. All of a sudden, when the trumpet sounds, and folks, one day that trumpet's going to sound again, and time will be no more. I believe with all my heart that I'm going to see the coming of Jesus Christ. You say, you're crazy. Well, that's what they said about Israel walking around the walls of Jericho. But I believe time is being fulfilled. Folks, people have moved away from God like never before in the history of America. Do you know that? Right now, that is a known fact. People have moved away from God. The Bible says in the last days there will be a great falling away. People don't seem to care about God no more. You know I'm speaking the truth, don't you? And guess who's sounding out? Satan is sounding his. I'll tell you, Sherry and I have been very upset this week. They announced a new TV program, and Sherry took it hook, line, and sinker. Said, oh, we got to watch this. 911, was it? 911. We love fire department. Don't put words in my mouth. Let me get them out. We love the fire department. We like to see them. We like firemen. That's what I was trying to say. And they had a fireman, right, putting out fires. We wanted to see that. Well, sure enough, we cut it on. And the first thing that comes on, was it two men or two women? Two women kissing each other. Oh, man. Sherry, I thought she was going to have a heart attack. She switched that. I said, what happened? She said, we just changed it. There's a shout of victory in your heart because you don't want to listen to that garbage. You don't have to look at. And by the way, church, we don't have to. Every one of us, as Mike said, we need to support this new movie. I can only imagine. Guess what? Your preacher will be there. I don't go to movies usually because I don't like the language oftentimes. But the shout of victory. The cross is the victory. Who will shout the cross? Who's going to promote the cross of Jesus Christ? All the people that were in one accord, the Bible says. Did you see that? It says, and all the people shall shout with a great shout. God is about to show up when his people come together. And I'll tell you, that needs to happen today. When they all were gathered in that upper room, they were all, the Bible says, in one accord. They had one mind. They were waiting on the Lord. And you know what? Waiting time is not wasted time. The children of Israel were waiting on the Lord as they marched around Jericho. But oh, when that trumpet sounded, he said, give the Lord a shout. And you know what the Bible says? There was the salvation of victory. The walls all fell flat, the Bible says. My Bible says they fell flat. Look at verse 5 of chapter 6. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. I'm done this morning. But another version said this, every man went straight in. And it made me think of Matthew 7:13. Where it says, enter ye into the straight gate, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. The walls of the city all fell down flat, and the people were saved from this great fortified city and the people that lived in it. Joshua 6:25, and Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. Remember, the messengers came in to Jericho. Rahab hid the messengers, and therefore God said, we're going to save Rahab. And I'm going to tell you something. You may be that Rahab today. You may be going through something. You say, there's just no way out of it. But I'm going to tell you something. God made a way on the cross. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died for you. And I got to give you this verse, because in listening to Billy Graham all this week or his messages, I thought Franklin said it best. He said, my daddy never preached a message that he didn't quote this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. That's the gospel. That's the shout of victory. That's the salvation of our victory. Our victory is in Jesus Christ, and salvation is yours today. Would you bow your head? Every head bowed, every eyes closed. I love that old song, Oh, Victory in Jesus. My Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, today, I want to shout that same shout of victory today. Jesus on the cross said with a loud voice, it is finished. He did all he needed to do to pay for your sin. As I said earlier, he didn't die there for his sin. He had none. He died for your sin. Now, here's my question for you. Did God show up on the cross? Yes. There was a thief on the right and a thief on the left. One thief was mocking Jesus, very negative man, said, if you be God, why don't you take us off, all of us off this cross? But there was a thief on the other side of Jesus who said, Lord, remember me when you go into your kingdom. His head's bowed, our eyes are closed. Jesus said, today, you will be with me in paradise. You know the great theological truth of that is that that teaches me salvation is totally a work of grace. It's not any works. It's not anything you and I could ever do but to come to Jesus. The victory is in that cross. Now, here's my question. When God shows up, will you? Will you show up? God showed up on that cross with his son dying there. What about you? Will you receive what he did on that cross for you? Some of you have already done that, and some of you have not. Maybe you joined the church. Maybe you got baptized. But I'm asking you, are you the thief on the right or the thief on the left? Are you the thief that's negative and saying, well, I hope I'll make it to heaven? I hear a lot of people say, well, I hope I get there. That's something you better know. Why don't you pray that prayer that thief prayed? Why don't you pray it right now? Lord, remember me when you go into your kingdom. You know what Jesus heard from that man's heart? He heard a heart that was broken, sinful. He knew the motive of his heart. What is the motive of your heart right now? You say, well, preacher, I'm sort of embarrassed to get up out of this pew and walk down that aisle. You know, God will often ask us to do something that might look strange to others. It looked really strange for the children of Israel to be walking around Jericho, but God gave them the city. God gave them the city, and God will give you complete salvation today. I mean the kind that says, I'll save you from your past, your present, and your future sin. And I will lead you into an eternal promised land called heaven. I'm telling you something, God has made the way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. We're going to sing this song today, and I want you to sing it with your heart. It's a different take on Just As I Am, but I come broken. And if you come broken before God today, oh, he'll save you. When God shows up, he heals you. When God shows up, as Michelle so beautifully sung today, he raises the dead. Hello. When God shows up, he parts the Red Sea. When God shows up, he kept the three Hebrew children, even their hair was not singed because God showed up. God showed up in the lion's den, and God will show up in your circumstances. My question today is to you, will you be a part of that? Henry Blackaby says, will you join God? God's always at work. Will you join him? You see, it has to be your faith and your commitment shown. That's the invitation. Father, this is your service. This is your invitation. And whatever you want to do here today, it'll be because you're doing it. We pray your Holy Spirit to do his office work in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together as we sing.